life in the church now. This will be a two-part lesson. First part today, God's willing, next week Sunday, the second and final part. The Bible indicates, the gospel of Jesus Christ teaches that we in the church are like the Israel traveling to the promised land. The Bible makes that very plain. In the passage in Corinthians, it shows that in the same way we meet around the Lord's table, it's a spiritual thing that the Israelites were fed with spiritual food. And on, what the Bible shows is that because we are on the same type of journey, and in the same way the Almighty God was using that journey to test, examine, and prove them, that's what is happening in the church. Today's lesson is meant just to be an introduction. Some of the important points in respect to what is the Almighty God carrying out for your salvation and my salvation, what he's carrying out in the church now as we live our lives in the church. And it is my belief that if we are more conscious of what life in the church is all about, we will be better people, more faithful, more committed to the Almighty God through Christ, and we'll see more to accomplish more for him. Christians and those who plan to be a Christian, be mindful as Christian that we are not finished product. That is essential. We are not finished. In fact, let me put it the proper way. And of course, next week this will be gotten into. In one sense, we are finished product. In another sense, we are work in progress. Very important point to learn. And the Bible deals with this a lot. You know, and we will be getting into more of that. The one man or woman who got baptized yesterday, today, in a sense, that person is a finished product. But in another sense, God's work in preparing that man or woman for eternity just began. And what you and I are asked to do is to cooperate with God. You see, many of us, we get baptized, but we are putting up resistance. We are not cooperating with God. The Almighty God is working on us, processing us, preparing us to develop in the church now the aptitude, the desire to adapt more now as we learn the will of God, of the life that we will live in eternity. Let's say, you are a person who you come to worship, but you know, you find pleasure, satisfaction in many other secular, worldly things. Did you ever consider that in that not liking to give God reverence and worship and adoration, you do it, but you know, you'd rather find some other thing. In fact, some other things really grab most of your attention, your mind, your time. And the Almighty God knows that. Have you ever thought that you are telling God that you are not fit product for heaven? Truly, have you ever wondered that? That's what your action might be confessing to God. We will be getting into more of that in the second part of the lesson. The Lord's church, the church of Christ, the church which Christ promised that upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Lord's church can properly be likened to an hospital. It can be likened to many things, and probably I'll be bringing up some of them this week or next week lesson. Things, institution, to which the church of Christ can be likened. But one of those things is an hospital, where sensible men and women come in for admission and treatment. Wait. You see, sensible people just don't go to hospital for admission. Of course, the doctor will help you along there, you know, because for order. For order, you have to have a qualified doctor give you a letter that you need to be admitted. Had that been not in place, every man or woman who wants a bed to sleep in and a place would find the hospital. That's right. But the doctor have to give you a letter, and you go and you get admitted. But you get admitted not just to relax. You get admitted to be treated. That's what hospital is about. The church of Christ is like that. We are people under treatment. Every one of us. And that means that we have acknowledged spiritually that we are not well. That's what becoming a Christian church life is all about, you know. We, when a man or a woman becomes a Christian, he has reached the point where he acknowledged that spiritually he's not at the right place, he's not well. And that person, even if you do not internalize it in the way I'm saying it now, you are saying you are coming to Jesus Christ for him to get you well spiritually. That's what life in the church is about. It is an acknowledgement when we become Christian that spiritually we are not well. That is, that relationship I need to have with the Almighty God, it's not right. That's what life in the church is saying. So you come for Dr. Jesus. Yes, the preacher, elders, deacon, faithful men, women, they are not the spiritual doctor. Wait. All we do is guide you to Dr. Jesus. And the metaphor I'm using has been used in the Bible, Christ as the great physician. Are we all there? In fact, I like Jeremiah chapter 8, 21 through 22, and Matthew chapter 9, 10 through 13. Let us hear those two passages to support the fact that I'm using the metaphor about Christ as a doctor, you and I as patients. Let us hear it. Jeremiah 8, 21 and 22.
For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt.
Wait, start again.
For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt.
The hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. Read on.
I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me.
Astonishment hath taken hold of me.
Is there no balm in Gilead?
There is no medicine in Gilead?
Is there no physician?
Wait, you tongue people don't know about balm. When I was growing up, the so-called mother in our district, those ladies would tie them head a certain way and then would come out and knock the drum at the and have their meeting, and also people go to them, you see, for reading, but it's not reading book. You see, it was superstition. A lot of time when people sick, in my growing up as a boy in the country, they would go to these somewhat superstitious other people for them to be balmed. And what these people would do, boil up different bush and put you in a big tub. Oh my God. Yes, that's and they would call it balm. But the speaking metaphorically, the passage the brother read about there is no balm in Gilead, and what the prophet was asking, God was directing him, is there is no healing from God available. You see, there was healing, but the question is, why then is my people not well? Read again about no balm in Gilead.
Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there?
Is there no, you see, brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ is our physician. And Jesus Christ has the balm. Wait, he has the hospital. When Jesus Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church, he was talking about that institution that men and women come not to spend 1 year, then you backslide, or 5 years, then you backslide, but to spend the rest of your life getting treatment. And Jesus Christ will be working on each of us to mold and make us into better product. Next week, when we look on many passages where the Bible talks about that day by day, we are renewed. That means day by day, we are getting more and more of the Christ-like nature. I have news for you. That is done one place, and that is in the Lord's church. You want to take me up on that? I shall be glad to sit and talk with you. Our telephone number. Jesus Christ is molding men and women, but that is being done nowhere else but in the body of Christ. That's what the Bible referred to the church. The Apostle Paul said,
I am not what or where I should be yet. But he said, I press, help me here, toward the mark of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Can you imagine a character, a dedicated Christian like Paul is telling you that what I need to be spiritually, I'm not there yet. But he said, I'm going to stay around with Jesus Christ until he helped me to be there. That's what the church is about, life in the church. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician? Read now.
Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?
Why have not then the people get better? Look on another passage using the same type of metaphor, and that is Matthew chapter 9, verse 10 to verse 30.
And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said,
Wait. Many publicans
And sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples.
Wait. Publican and sinners. You could almost drop in that place. Many known, acknowledged, spiritually sick people. Publican and sinner. Because the publican were the tax collectors. Are we all here? And the Jews generally don't believe that you should pay a Gentile government taxes. And a lot of that tax collected was sent to the Roman government. Even the Jews that paid that, because they had to, they felt it shouldn't be paid to the Roman government. So the tax collector, not only that, they were exploiters. They were extortionists. The Roman government gave them the right to collect so much from the people, and anything over that was theirs. Oh my God. You can just imagine. And that was what was the practice. So they were hated. They were looked upon as the worst of sinners. And the tax collectors knew that they were not liked. So when the tax collectors flocked to Jesus Christ, and sinners, when it says sinners, men and women of all sort, who the general public recognize them as the spiritual outcast. They were the one who came to Christ. Men and women who recognized that they were sinners. Read on, brother.
And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciple, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?
You should not even eat with them. Why eat your master with publican and sinners? Read on.
But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician.
You see, here we get again about needing the doctor, because what is involved in the passage, you know, it's men and women who were spiritually sick. Every sinner today is spiritually sick. Christian are men and women who are spiritually sick, but they have come to Jesus Christ for healing. What Jesus Christ said?
They that be whole need not a physician.
Men and women who are healthy don't go to doctor.
But they that are sick.
But those who are sick. men and women who are sensible, when you are sick, you seek the doctor. Wait, I have some news for you. Did you know it's the same way spiritually? If you are sensible and know that you are a sinner, you have not yet met Jesus' condition for the removal of your sin, if you are sensible, you will seek Jesus Christ before it is too late. One of the sad things that I believe it affects all of us is the many innocent people getting killed in our society these days. It is sad. It is sad. And when you hear the vicious way where children, innocent men and women just get cut down. But the passage is contemplating men and women who are sick spiritually. Read on a little more.
But go ye and learn.
Go ye and learn.
What that meaneth.
What it meant. You see, Christ spoke metaphorically. He was not speaking so much about physical sickness, but spiritual sickness. What verse are you, brother?
Verse 13.
Finish?
No.
Read.
But go ye and learn what thou meanest. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
That's right. So when these sinners, the publican and the sinners flock in me, these are the people that I came to this world for. Every man, every woman who would recognize that his relationship with his Creator, the Almighty God, is not right, I am come to help those people. And that's why the church is Christ's hospital, where he is molding, making us into proper product for eternity. Are we all here? The Christians, as well as the non-Christians, the unbelievers, need to understand God's plan and purpose for those in the church. Yes, I'm talking about those in the church. Even the Christians sometimes don't realize what is the church is all about. Jesus Christ's ongoing work for our eternal salvation is going on in the church. His ongoing work. Brother Vigil, I thought that once I got baptized, Christ done with me because I'm a Christian then. No, he just started. When you got baptized, he just started. And he's asking you to give him the chance for the next year, for the next 10 years, for the next 15, 20, 30, 40, 80 years. Jesus Christ will be working to develop in you the Christ-like image and character. So it means you will make use of every opportunity you can to be in worship when the church meet. Next week we'll be talking more about that, you know, about worship. When David says, I was glad, when they said unto me, let us go into the house. Glad? No, Brother Mitchell, me dying for this sermon to preach, to go home to watch my soap opera. And what we'll be learning next week is the fact that attitude, inclination that we are showing now is sending message to the Almighty God about our fitness for heaven. And that's why he's patient with us, giving us all the time to learn what the grace of God is trying to accomplish for us. Huh? You don't want to be a man or a woman who, when you reach heaven, you find out that you feel out of place. Huh? I will expand more on that. Yes. That Christ's ongoing work for our salvation is going on in his church, and it is going on nowhere else. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, following again. Let us hear it.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
Uh-huh.
That he might sanctify and cleanse.
Wait. He loved the church and he gave himself, notice, for the church. You know why? Because the church is where he processed sinners and transformed them into what? Saints. That he might
sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water.
Wait. The things that the brother is mentioning here, a lot of it is instant. Eh? And a lot of it is ongoing. That's right. Let us hear it, Ephesians chapter 5. And pick up where you start.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it
with the washing of water.
The washing of water is referring to baptism.
By the word.
By the word. And you notice the word, the teaching we get. Notice too, we are told that by John, that he cleanseth us. Eh? I believe it's John chapter 1, say 1 John, I believe it's chapter 1. Let me hear if I have the right passage. I know it's John. And you pick up at about verse 7.
But if we walk in the light.
That's the passage. Uh-huh.
As he is in the
brother, if we walk in the light. You see, that is talk about life in the church. If you live by the light, which is the word of God, which is the gospel. But if we walk in the light, as
he is in the light.
As he in the light.
We have fellowship.
We have fellowship.
One with another.
From the year of one, I've been planning to preach a lesson on fellowshipping. Brother Michel, me not like to have no fellowship with the Christian. I am this and I'm that and they are that. And no, you have it wrong. Because fellowship with the Christian is as important as fellowship with God. And don't think if you dislike fellowshipping with the Christian here, why you think the Almighty God will be so fool to admit you into heaven? That's right. That's what I'm saying. That's why this lesson, that there are a lot of things we don't get. Life in the, wait, don't move, brother, in the church is preparing us for life in eternity. It is here we are learning. Please let us learn. Get back to the passage, brother.
We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
You notice, cleanseth is continuous tense. Present continuous tense. Cleanseth. Literally, is the blood of Christ continues to cleanse us. But Brother Mitchell, for me, that is not necessary, because when I become a Christian, I haven't done God any wrong. Just that thinking alone make you wrong. So when the Holy Spirit direct John to write that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, meaning continues to cleanse us, that's part of the molding and making process, strengthening us to be more faithful, getting rid of our sin, because we are in the body of Christ. That takes place only in the church. Nowhere else. Where the continuous cleansing continues. But notice, it tells you that you and I have to walk in the light. That is, you have to live by the word. As I was saying, in fact, listen, verse 10, I think, also.
If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar.
Wait, you notice how deceptive sin is? Because just thinking within yourself that I have not sinned, I haven't done anything to offend God, that is creating problem for you and God. You don't have to be out there stinging up people with gun and cursing nasty word and committing adultery, fornication. Those are sinful, but just thinking within yourself, I'm so holy and I'm so godly, you know, I can't see any sin in my life, I don't think. That alone, because what you are doing there, you are reflecting on God's estimation of you. You are saying God's estimate of you is wrong. Because God's estimate of you is that you sin. Even though you have stepped forward to serve him, but you sin in thought, in words, in deeds. Read verse 10.
If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
You hear that? Don't ever try to make God a liar. As I said when I began, that in a sense the Christian is Christ's finished product. But in another sense, he is not. In another sense, the Christian is Christ's work in progress. In the gospel, Christ's inspired writer speak about one, the call. It speaks about the chosen. And it speaks about the elect. Wait. Yes, the gospel. The called. The chosen. The elect. Those are not in the same category. Remember, the Bible says that things going to reach a point that if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. Who are the elect? Men and women who have given their lives to God and have spent time with Jesus Christ growing and developing the Christ-like character. They have become committed, working for Jesus Christ, close to Christ. They have lived the life of Christ. Those are the elect, men and women who have grown. It talks about the call. Many are called, but all who are called are not chosen. We need to understand that it is in the church that the Almighty God is sifting and processing and making out of us what we are to be. I want to spend a few minutes and close with this point because it will put things in the proper perspective as it relates to the lesson. And that is, let us briefly look at us, human beings. Let us run to the passage of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. It's a brief look at us, human beings. Let us hear the passage.
And God said, let us make man in our image.
Let me have your attention. Have you ever noticed that man was the last thing God created? That's interesting. You think that with man being created in God's image and with man so important, because in the text being read, you're going to see that man, God gave man dominance over everything down here. What a honor. But for some reason, God didn't create us first. Start again, brother.
And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
What a honor. What verse is that?
Verse 26.
Read on.
So God created man in his own image.
Mm-hmm.
In the image of God created he him.
Mm-hmm.
Male and female he created them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply,
mm-hmm,
and replenish the earth,
mm-hmm,
and subdue it,
mm-hmm,
and have dominion over the fish of the sea.
Subdue the earth, have dominion over the awesome whale. Read on, brother.
And over the fowl of the air,
mm-hmm,
and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth.
Verse 28. Thank you, brother. We take just a brief look and the lesson will be yours. Eh? Man, as God created him, man was distinctly different and distinctly superior to the animal that God had created before he created man. Man stood on a much higher plateau than everything else down here. That's right. Not only that, man had a greater privilege, but with that greater privilege comes for man greater responsibilities. Man was created, this is superior to the low animal, created to have communion and fellowship with the Almighty God in ways that the vast whale in the sea and the smartest land animal don't. The type of fellowship and communion we were made to have with the Almighty God, the lower animal were not so created. Man was created in the likeness and the image of the Almighty God. I appreciate David in Psalms 139, verse 14. Let us hear it. Psalms 139, 14.
I will praise thee.
I will praise thee.
For I am fearfully and
Wait, here is a man thoughtful. Thoughtful of the magnificent work of God in creating man and giving man such great honor and privilege. So David, the writer here says, I am what?
I will praise thee.
No.
For I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am fearfully
and wonderfully made.
Remember, the word wonderful always implies full of wonder. And that is a fact, that the way the Almighty God made us. But you know what, brethren? We were made in God's image and after God's likeness. And while I'm not going to be going in any detail because I'm wrapping up, part of that likeness and image spoken about in Genesis 1, 26 and 22-28 is man's intellect. No animal have the intellect that man has. With its extraordinary capacity, it is said that the smartest scientist or smartest man who has accomplished so much uses up only a small percentage of his capacity. There is no doubt that when the Bible talks about man being created in God's image, after God's likeness, it includes that capacity. But you know what it also includes? That man, like God, is a moral being. Brother Mitchell, what do you mean? That means, unlike the animal, When you meet a tiger cat or a lion and they feel that they want to have you for dinner, that tiger cat or lion not going to say, well, it's wrong to kill a man. The tiger cat or the lion is not a moral being. They don't weigh things that this is wrong and this is right. But you and I, like God, it's something we get from God and share with God. We are a moral being. Do you know the Bible teaches us in the book of Romans, chapter 2, from around verse 10 to verse 12. It points out that the Gentile who did not have the law, remember, come tonight to learn more. The Gentiles who did not have the law Still no wrong from right. That means men and women who live thousands of years ago, they still had a sense of right and wrong. That's morality. Man shared that with the Almighty God. So when the Almighty God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, that was part of it. But not only that. Man is a spiritual, while we are a physical being, we are also spiritual. Let me come down to it. Man has an immortal soul. Man has something within him that does not die. When you and I come to a funeral and see the person there, dead, gone, something has been taken out from that person and put in Hades. The Bible referred to it as his soul. That is his godlike part. I want to run through a few passages, but you see, I'm going to resist the temptation. I want to run through passages like Luke chapter 20, verse 37, that the dead are raised. Even Moses showed at the burning bush when he called the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac. Now, these men had been dead for hundreds of years. And listen to the passage. He's not a God of the dead, but of the living. But God, you have just said, you are their God, and they are dead. Yes, but all men and women are still alive to me. That was referring to the immortal soul that man has. I would like to share with you, but I'll do that next week. Three passages where the emphasis was on the soul of man. What shall it profit? Yes, I told you I'll share it next week. This night thy, I told you I'll share it with you next week. So let me stop right here. Yes, so part of the business of being created in God's image and God's likeness, part is our intellect, that we have in common with the Almighty God. We can think, we can make wise decisions. God gives us that. Part of it is our moral nature, that even when men live in the uncivilized world thousands of years ago, they still have a sense of right and wrong. As part of what we share with God, we are moral being. What a wonderful God. So as we discuss and look on our life in the church, I encourage you back next week when we get into some passages which indicates that God has the church as his workplace, as his workshop, preparing us for life beyond the grave. If you are here today, you have heard enough to become a child of God. And briefly, God's plan includes you must hear his word, the gospel. You must believe in Jesus Christ as Lord, as the Son of God. You must repent of your sin. You must confess Christ, and you must be baptized for the removal of sin. Those are the steps of salvation that the gospel of Christ laid down for every man to become a child of God. It is when a man or woman hear, believe, repent, confess Christ's name, get baptized. Remember, sprinkling was never God's baptism. It is when we get baptized that the Lord adds us to his church and start the work on us for our eternal salvation. You can come right now when we stand and sing and give your life to Jesus Christ. We are here to help you, and Jesus Christ is ready to welcome you into his family right now as we stand.